Well, let's turn in our Bibles today to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. If you're wondering where Ecclesiastes is, go to the book of Psalms and go to the right just a little bit. You come across Proverbs, go to the end of Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs. If you're in Isaiah, you've gone too far and need to go back to the left a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 is where we'll begin. We've got about a zillion verses to look at tonight. I don't know if we'll finish the topic this evening. We may have to continue it next week as well. But I think it's an important topic. Our theme here in the evening right now is learning to become better at winning souls to Christ, leading souls to Christ. And so, you know, one of the questions that we come across so often is someone seems to be saved, but we're just not sure, and they're not sure. And so how can we tell whether or not they need to be saved or if they just need to rededicate their life to Christ, get assurance of their salvation? And so we're going to look at some things. We're going to take three primary ways of knowing that, or three primary ways to investigate. And hopefully this will be helpful for you tonight, a little more practical than preaching, but I think also important. We're going to begin with Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 20. We looked at this verse, I believe, last week. It says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Father, we thank you for your word and the clarity of it. We thank you that salvation is so easy and simple to understand. But Father, we know that sometimes it becomes a little more complex when we deal with people, and Lord, they're not sure if they're saved, and they give their testimony, and we're not sure if they're saved. And so tonight, as we begin looking at how we can tell, Lord, we ask that you would bless us and guide us and help us to be helpful to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first line of thought we need to pursue to determine whether someone is saved or lost is just discuss the new birth with them. Has or have they been saved in the past? Were they saved before you met them? And so you want to deal from the perspective of talking about when they got saved. We should all, if we're saved, know how to tell something about our salvation experience. We should know something about it. I know mine. I don't know the date. I know it was a Thursday night, because it was part of the church visitation program. And so I know it was a Thursday, and I know it was in March, and I know exactly where I was. The gospel was explained to me in the living room of my friend's home, and I accepted Christ on my way home, and I know exactly where I was. I just don't know what direction it was. I was at Michigan and Fuller on Michigan, just past Fuller, heading whatever direction it was I was heading. I think it's east, but I'm not sure what direction it runs. But anyway, I know exactly where I was, and I know who it was that explained it to me. His name is Wes Rowe. He's pastoring now in the city of Ann Arbor, and he's been there for a long time. And so we should know something about it. And if we don't know those types of details, we should understand a little bit about the Scripture, or at least the principles of the Scripture that were explained to us. And the first being this idea that we are, in fact, sinners. And so that's perhaps the first line of thought we pursue on this. If we ask them to give us their testimony about how they got saved, and it's about as clear as mud, then we begin to probe a little bit, and we begin to ask these questions. And one of the first questions we should ask is, did you understand that you were a sinner worthy of God's punishment in hell forever? Now, obviously, there's a great deal, many other verses that we could turn to other than Ecclesiastes 7:20. And to be honest with you, this would not be my first choice of verses, because if they want to go back to it, it would be a hard one for them to find. But nevertheless, it does put it out there very plainly, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Not one. And so they need to understand, if they're going to get saved, remember our first point was get them lost. Did they understand that they were lost? They couldn't get saved if they didn't understand that. A second line of thought we need to pursue on this, turn over if you would to Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. Many of these verses are going to be very familiar, and that's intentional so that you'll remember them and be able to put these together if you deal with someone that isn't certain if they're saved. They say, I went to church before and I was saved once. I've had people tell me that I used to be saved. Well, the Bible says if we got saved, we have eternal life. We can't lose it. And that comes down in a later point. But, they're confused, and that makes us confused. And so we've got to pursue this and see whether they're saved or not. And if they'll allow us, we ask them these questions. The first is, did they recognize themselves or did they know they were a sinner? Now, in Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, the Bible tells us this: not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. A second question we should pursue is, did they recognize they were unable to save themselves? That there wasn't anything they could add to it, to what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. That there weren't any works, no matter how good, no matter how religious. They couldn't pray enough, be baptized enough, couldn't give enough tithes and offerings to the Lord to add to that salvation. Did they understand that it was solely by what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary? Completely unable to save ourselves. Did they understand that? You see, a lot of people don't understand that. They think that if they pray and ask Jesus to be their Savior, then they've got to keep themselves saved by being faithful in church and faithful with their money, faithful in Bible reading, faithful. They think if they slip up and cease to do those things, that all of a sudden they've lost their salvation. And so we need to see if they understood that they could not save themselves, completely unable. From there, on this thought of were they saved in the first place, we turn over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. In verse number 30. Now here we have the Philippian jailer after God released all the prisoners through the earthquake, and he comes in and about to kill himself, lest he go through the punishment of the Romans for letting his prisoners escape. And that would have been worse than just taking his own life. But Paul stops him. And in verse number 30, we read this: and brought them out. The guard brought Paul and Silas out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house," if they ask the Lord to be their Savior. And so the third thing we need to do, first we make sure they understood they were a sinner. Secondly, we make sure they understand that they could not save themselves. Thirdly, we want to make sure that they had gone to God, begging Him for mercy for their sins and asking Him for salvation. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. They think that if they pray and ask God forgiveness for their sins of the day every evening, that that is asking Christ to save them. That is not asking Christ to save anyone. That is asking Christ to forgive us our sins, and we should do that. But that doesn't equal salvation. Salvation is begging God for mercy because we are lost, headed for hell, and cannot rescue or save ourselves. And we need a Savior, and Christ is that Savior. And so we need to find that out. What did they mean, or why did they go to Christ in prayer that day? I hear too many people tell me that their Sunday school teacher saved them or their preacher saved them. No, we don't save anyone. It's God who saves the individual soul. And they need to understand that, that even though the preacher or the Sunday school teacher may have taken God's word and shared the gospel with them, that they had very little to do with them getting saved. And so we need to make sure that they had gone to God begging for mercy. Over in John chapter 14, verse number 6, John 14, number 6, we have a fourth question to ask on this idea of trying to determine whether they were saved in the first place. Did they understand it? John chapter 14, verse number 6, should be a familiar verse to you. It tells us there Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no room for tolerance here, no room for, I'm trying to think of the word they use for all the religions being okay and paths to the same place. And they all are except for biblical Christianity. They're all paths straight to hell. Only biblical Christianity will lead a man to heaven because Jesus says, I am the, not a. The way, not a way. The truth, not a truth. The life, not a life. But then he puts an exclamation point on it in regards to salvation when he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, the Muslim is trusting Muhammad to get him there. Muhammad can't get anyone to heaven. He couldn't get himself to heaven. And he's burning right now, unless he made a profession of faith somewhere early in his life. But certainly his teachings will lead an individual to burn in hell forever. And so, what we need to do after we confirm that they knew themselves to be a sinner, confirm that they recognize themselves utterly unable to save themselves, recognize or at least recall that they had gone to God begging for mercy, we need to determine whether or not they had entirely trusted their soul to Christ. Were they trusting Jesus to save them from the penalty of their sin? And then from there, we go back to John 11:25. You see, a lot of people believe, and a lot of denominations will teach that since Jesus died for all, then all are going to heaven. Is that a biblical truth? And the answer, of course, is no, that is not a biblical truth. The only ones going to heaven are those that trust the saving merit of Christ's death upon the cross for themselves personally. And that's what we need to determine, that they weren't just accepting this general salvation because Jesus died, I'm okay. In John 11:25, the Bible says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so we need to have them share their testimony with us, and we need to ask these questions if it's not clear to us that they understood what they had done. A lot of people don't understand it. If someone gets saved very early in life at maybe 4, 5, 6 years old, when they get to be about 13, 14, and 15, they begin to question because they just don't remember very much of what happened. Does that mean they're lost? I don't believe it does. I believe really only the parent can answer that question. But Stephen, when he was 15 years old, questioned whether he got saved when he was 3 years old. And he got assurance of his salvation, but he talked to me about it. Dad, was I saved all those years? And I said, definitely, most definitely, because the fruit was there. And that leads us to the second point, the second avenue of questions that we pursue. The first is regarding their salvation, and the second is regarding their fruit. And so we try to determine whether there was a change in their life after they made the profession of faith. Now, we're not talking about dramatic change. We're not talking about, you know, a drug addict all of a sudden not having the desire for drugs any longer. We're talking about the slight, minute changes, simply because if they had a dramatic change, there would be no question in their mind whether or not they were saved. I had absolutely no question of my salvation after I got saved. I know it was very obvious that God had done a work. I didn't ever have to be concerned about that. But other people don't experience it that dramatically. It's more of a gradual and slow process. But nevertheless, if they're saved, there will be that process. Look what it tells in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. Probably many of you could quote this verse. I would hope you could quote this verse. Very familiar, and it should be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that should be the experience. If they were truly born again, if they had gotten saved, things would become new. They wouldn't stay the same they used to be. And if you really got saved, you'd root for Michigan rather than Ohio State. I mean, it's just, I don't understand you guys. I'm just kidding, obviously, but it's just that dramatic sometimes, but there should be a change. Should be a change. And so we look for that change. And so we ask, was there a time when that person knew they were saved? Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse number 16. If they never experienced this verse, this is as far as you have to go. They were definitely never saved. It tells in Romans 8, 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If they never had the conviction that they were born again, that they were saved, if they never really knew, if they always questioned it, always wondered whether or not they were saved, then they weren't saved in the beginning. You see, the Holy Spirit assures us of our salvation. That's part of His ministry to us. It's part of God's grace and God's gift of salvation, is that assurance. And so we take them right here and ask them that question. The second question we ask them is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now we're talking about the change in their life after receiving Christ, which would unquestionably, if they're questioning their salvation, would have been a gradual or a very slight change, but nevertheless, a change. Maybe not even in actions, but more just in attitudes and the way they looked at things and evaluated life, that maybe their goals or their motives or their desires changed to the good from the bad, to the righteous from the wicked. And so we're looking for the slight change. Was there ever a time when they went from not knowing they were saved to knowing that they were on their way to heaven? Secondly, was there a change in their affections? I love these verses beginning in verse number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the righteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And here's the good part, verse number 11. And such were, past tense, such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. And so we see that their affections change. God is saying, this is what you guys used to be, but you're not that any longer. Now you've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Now you've been redeemed. Now you're saved. And so we don't do the things that we used to do because we just don't desire to do those things any longer. Now, I say regularly that when I got saved, God removed the desire for drugs entirely away that first day. What a relief that was. But He didn't remove the desire for booze away. And that's something I had to struggle with. But the struggle was there. I still drank for several months, but I didn't want to drink. But I was addicted to it. And so even though the actions were there, there was that change in desire to stop doing what I was doing. And so we look for those things in their lives and we question them to see if that had taken place after they receive Christ as their Savior. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so what we learn from this verse in regards to the subject of was this person ever saved, we find that a saved person has victory in their life. They have victory over the world, victory over sin, victory over temptation. And so we ask them, were there any victories over your sin? Were there any victories over temptation and over the world? Because if there were, then they most likely were saved. If there was never a single victory over anything in their lives, then we can chalk it down. Chances are they weren't saved. It's just that simple. And so these are questions, and we're going to stop there tonight. We're going to pick this up next time. We're about halfway through, and maybe I'll make some handouts of this so you can have this, because I think this is helpful, because we all run across people like this as we try to share the gospel with other people. But we want to be certain of their salvation, because we don't want to give someone a false assurance. If they're not saved, we don't want to make them believe they're saved. We want to be very, very careful. And so we also don't want to lead someone to Christ who's already saved, just lacking assurance, because they will never have assurance if we do that. We want to be careful to make certain to determine the truth. Do they just need reassurance, or do they need the new birth? And so the key to it all, as we pursue these questions, I probably should have said this from the very get-go, the key to it all is prayer and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's something that all of us can do. We all have the same Holy Spirit who has the same ability to determine whether that person is saved or lost. I mean, he already knows before we start the conversation. And we all can be in touch with the Holy Spirit of God through prayer to make that determination. These are just some things to help us determine how the Holy Spirit is leading. And so, as I said, we'll continue this next week. It's not so much preaching as it is just informational, but I trust that this will be helpful for you. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the clarity of salvation. Thank you for these helps that help us determine biblically whether one's saved or not. Father, help us to be wise as we deal with souls, that we might lead them to Christ for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.